All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. We are back. I know it has been a while, and it feels really good to be back here on the number one place for Bucks coverage anywhere, JoeBucksFan.com. So I apologize for the hiatus. Had a lot going on. Had a family vacation. It's been summertime even when I've been at home. I've had the kids. I mean, like, I literally haven't been alone. Like I say from time to time on this show, you know how, like, get used to just being alone for a little bit here and there. Like, I've been in the presence of other people, including right now. It's been like 3 weeks straight. Like, just haven't been alone at all. So, got away, got a chance to do the show, got a lot to catch up on, because even though it's the offseason, even though not much has happened specifically with the Bucks, there are things happening, and when you take all the events of the past few weeks, there's actually quite a bit. So we'll cover it all on the show today, but thank you for joining us. Thank you for lasting through the hiatus. I'm glad to have you back. And here we are. So, first of all, what did I do? Well, I went to a family wedding out in southern Montana, not far from Yellowstone. So we went out there, we did Yellowstone, did the whole thing. That's where I was the past week and everything like that. And it was actually coinciding with, I'm going to talk about what's going on with Tampa Bay sports as a whole right now, but it was coinciding with the Lightning trying to finish off the Islanders in the Eastern, or not the Eastern Conference Final, the Stanley Cup semifinal, since there weren't conferences this year. So, Yellowstone, first of all, is magnificent, and it's a cool place to see. It was a little bit tough on the driving. You know, when you think of a park, you think of kind of a confined area, a defined area, that this is the park. And Yellowstone is defined, but it's defined as like an entire corner of a state in Wyoming. So it's like not even, it's actually bleeds into Montana a little bit and Idaho a little bit. It's huge. Like it's literally a corner of the state, not just like a few hundred acres or whatever. And so everything's really far apart. So all the things that are there to see are really cool. Like I went to Old Faithful, which is a little underwhelming, but you're supposed to do it. So we did that. Saw the boiling hot springs. Of course, you know, there's something called the Grand Canyon of Yellowstone with a beautiful waterfall. I mean, it's all beautiful, but each thing is like 40 miles from the other thing. So it's not like you're like, okay, let's go see this all in a few hours. Like, you need a few days to really see it all. And we went in there twice, and we were staying about an hour away to begin with. So we had the hour drive to get in. Then we had, you know, wherever you're going to go in the park, it could be an hour or two even further. And it's not that bad or anything, but it's not exactly something that you just go whim, bam, boom, and hit it all. So that would be, it normally have been fine. But one of the days we were in there was the day of Game 7 for Lightning Islanders. And that's where I had a bit of a problem. Because, you know, we've all got things that are important to us. And we've all got things that, like, make us antsy. And I'm not, like, I'm a big picture guy, okay? I'm not going to let some hockey game, call it Game 7 of a, you know, conference final, some hockey game. But I'm not going to let, you know, my perspective get warped where I'm in a place like Yellowstone that's like a once-in-a-lifetime supposed type of thing, and I can't even enjoy it because I'm worried about a Lightning game. But I know myself, you know, you just got to know what your things that bother you are. Everybody should do this. Everybody should think, okay, what are the things that I really don't like, that I really can't handle, that I really get out of my element with, and I start acting in a way I wouldn't normally act? Maybe I say things I wouldn't normally say. Be able to identify those things instead of just denying them, like be able to identify those things. So with me, when there's one of my teams playing in a big game, you know, not just any random regular season game, but when one of my teams, whether it's the Bucks, Lightning, Rays, Gators football, Gators basketball, we're talking like championship time of year, you know, I don't like to be out of contact with that game. I get upset, I get antsy, I start getting snippy with people around me. I don't like to be out of contact with it. So Yellowstone's got no reception whatsoever except for a few little spots. Because I could even stream the game on my cell phone and I'll be happy as long as I'm in contact with it. But we got into some points there where we were really at, like you couldn't get your phone to work, nothing. And the day we went of Game 7, it was getting a little bit tight there. Like you can't just run into Yellowstone real quick, check it out, and get back home to the hotel or whatever to watch the game. So we're in there. And it's getting, you know, a little tight, and I'm starting to get antsy. I'm starting to not enjoy things like I should because I'm worried about the game. Just didn't care for the overall vibe. Finally, we get going to make it back in time to watch Game 7. hit a huge traffic jam. This is not a place where there's a lot of traffic. I mean, Yellowstone does have a lot of people, but not that. It's not like a city. And it's a bunch of like two-lane roads that are like, it makes a loop, and then there's spurs from the loop that go out to different entrances or exits from the park. So we're humming along, and I'm looking at my Google Maps, which I couldn't get to work, but I'm just looking at the actual GPS data, and I'm estimating. I'm like, okay, we're like an hour away from where we need to be, no problem. Well, boom, traffic. I mean, literally standstill for miles down this two-lane road. And so now I'm beside myself. I'm freaking out, like face-offs approaching. What was it? Couple of buffalo on the road, just hanging out in the road, blocking the road. And the buffalo are cool, but this was frustrating. And there is not just buffalo blocking the road, but then even when they get out of the way, people stop and take pictures, which I don't fault them for, but it turned into a whole thing. I talked to a ranger. He's like, oh, yep, just some buffalo up there. He's like, it happens that people take pictures and stuff. About a couple miles of standstill, then you guys will be on your way. He was real casual about it. I was like, oh, a couple miles of stance, so that doesn't take more than like an hour or two probably, right? So that's cool. You know, whatever, we just missed game seven, no big deal. So I'm freaking out in the car. And the buffalo, by the way, are really cool to see up there. We got into the park the first time, and like about 5 minutes into driving inside the entrance gate, my son goes, buffalo, buffalo. And we're like whispering, like, be quiet, don't see. And we like stopped and looked at the buffalo. It was off the side of the road. And we thought it was the coolest thing. And then we drove about like two more minutes up the road and around this bend, and there was like 600 buffalo. We're like, oh, okay, never mind. Like, the first one we saw, we're like, oh my God, this rare sighting, here's a buffalo. And it gets to be after you're in the park for a little bit, like buffalo, and they're really bison, not buffalo, but they're like squirrels, like in Florida. Oh, a squirrel. What, you know, that's how it is seeing a buffalo. It's like, okay. But when you haven't seen one yet, it's really cool, and they're really majestic animals, and there's all kinds of wildlife. You might see some grizzlies, you might see some other things. There were elk just kind of hanging out, that type of stuff. But a really cool trip. So anyway, long story short, after we get through this thing and get going, we have to get as far as Cody, Wyoming to watch the damn game. Because even after you get out of Yellowstone, Cody, Wyoming, an hour and a half away or whatever it is the nearest place where you get any type of reception on your phone. End up pulling into this sports bar, like, at the beginning of the third period. Missed the first two periods. And watching the rest of the game there, and end up meeting a Lightning fan from Clearwater, Eric, who, if you're listening out there, he's taking a camper around the American West, and he just happened to stop there. So that was kind of cool, because the Lightning won. We celebrated in the bar, felt like old friends, even though I just met the guy. And, you know, the farther away from home, the more warmth you feel when you see a friendly. Like, he had a Lightning hat on, and I was like, wait a minute, you're a Lightning fan? He's like, yeah, I'm from Clearwater. I was like, oh my God. You know, we started talking. So that was cool. Said he'll listen to the Free Stretch in his camper van when he's driving around. I'm not sure if I believe him or not. But anyway, it was a great trip. Cool stuff. Oh, and by the way, there's one more story real quick about this wedding we went to, and none of my wife's family listens to the show, so I can tell the story. So we get to the wedding, and again, this whole trip, we're like seeing bison or buffalo, whatever you want to call them, and, you know, in awe over them, like, oh, how majestic, and, you know, admiring them and things like that. So we get to the wedding. We're super hungry. Reception starts. And there's this big barn that they have the door shut. Then they open the door to the barn. They say, hey, everybody, come on in. It's a buffet dinner. And I'm all fired up. I love buffets. I'm like, yes. We walk into the barn, these huge, like, 20-foot barn doors, thinking it's going to be some majestic buffet. There's a single tray of food sitting on this table. One tray. And do you know what the food was? Bison lasagna. Bison lasagna. And they didn't even have, you know, you have two trays where maybe one's bison and one's just regular lasagna or non-meat lasagna. And listen, I'm not a vegetarian. I'm not a vegan. I'm not anything like that. But I try not to eat so much red meat. And especially, like, I don't like to eat things. I used to eat tons of steak, used to eat hamburger, all that stuff. And I saw a cow one day at this thing we were at, my wife and I, some ranch or something. And the cow, like, walked up to me. I started petting it. And my wife, who is vegetarian, said, you know, hey, maybe you ought to think about eating things that you like to pet, right? Like, it seems weird that you love this cow. And I did. This cow was really sweet, like, walked right up to me. I started nuzzling him and all that. And she's like, it's kind of weird that you would eat something that you like so much, right? And I'm like, yeah, that is weird. So I've been sticking more to poultry and seafood type things since then. I still eat meat, but I don't eat red meat. And so it felt weird, like, being on this, like, week-long trip where we've been holding the bison in such esteem. You know, we've been looking at them, admiring them, would never try to hurt one. And then literally the only tray, they call it a buffet, there's one tray literally sitting there that everybody's just supposed to go grab their food out of, bison lasagna. So I passed, didn't eat for the whole wedding. Very disappointing. And if you're having a wedding, this is just a quick piece of advice to anybody having a wedding out there, okay, or who will have one in the future. Weddings, I know the bride and the groom always think the wedding is about them. Weddings are about your guests. They're not about you. So, like, you don't just do, we like this and we like that. It has nothing to do with it. Like, that, your honeymoon is about you. Weddings are about the people you invite. So take care of them. And I know not everybody's made of money. I'm not saying you have to have 45 different food options. But just make sure you've got every potential person at your wedding covered. And I'm sure the bison lasagna was good. I'm not criticizing it. And if it was 5-10 years ago, I probably would have eaten it myself. But I didn't want to eat that. And even if they had just, you don't have to spend any extra money. Just have another tray of lasagna just without the bison in it, you know? And then everybody could have been covered. But just little things to think about. But remember, your wedding, as much as you might think it's about you, it's actually about your guests more than anything else. And so that was a little bit of a disappointment. But at least I got to see the end of Game 7. And, you know, obviously when you plan these trips a month in advance, you don't know. Especially the NHL this year, they usually finish the finals in June. Obviously this year it's bleeding more into late June, early July. And we hope the Lightning play the last game. And I want to say something real quick about that. Here on the free stretch right now. I hope you guys are savoring this. And I know this is Joe Bucks fan, so if you're listening to this show, you're probably a Bucks fan. A lot of people who are Bucks fans are probably also Lightning fans or maybe also Rays fans or maybe some people that are just football fans. And I know we have people listening from all around, and there's a wide variety of people that listen. But for the most part, this is a Tampa Bay sports audience for this show, I would think, not just a Bucks audience. And so, if you're like me, and I'm a fan of all three Tampa teams, having grown up here and followed them all for pretty much the entirety of their existences, you know, they're all meaningful to me. So what's happening right now isn't normal. And in my wildest dreams, if you had told me this when I was like 15 years old, my head would have exploded. But to have the Lightning, and the Lightning's success goes back, you know, over the past decade, or at least the past 6-7 years, do what they've been doing, and then combining that with the Rays winning the American League pennant, and combining that with the Bucks winning the Super Bowl in Tampa, I mean, I'm not one of those people that's a doomsday prognosticator. Oh, it's the dark days are ahead. But listen, I mean, you all know this as much as I do. This stuff is cyclical, and most of the cycle tends to be either down or middle of the pack. Every once in a while, one of your teams is maybe good enough to do something like this. And we have all three of them doing it at the same time. And now, at least with the Lightning, they're close. There is, as I record this, they're up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup Final. They might even do it a second time in a row. And I just, like, I had to explain to my son, he's 9, like, the way I grew up, like I've told you many times on this show before, you know, the first time I ever saw any of my teams make a playoff game, I was a junior in high school. That's just a game. When the Lightning played the Flyers in 1996, and the Bucks didn't make the playoffs for the first time till I was a senior in high school in the fall of 1997. And none of them won a championship of any kind until I was out of college in my 20s. And my son's like, you know, this is like when the first round of the playoffs, he's like, so who do you think the Lightning are going to play in the Stanley Cup Final, Dad? And I was like, well, you know, they're only in the first round right now. And, you know, they got to win this series and they got to win two more. I mean, like, I don't know. He's like, well, yeah, but seriously, like, you know, they're going to win this. He's like, when are they going to play in the Stanley Cup Final? And, like, I'm trying to imagine, like, 9-year-old me thinking, like, 9-year-old me, like, couldn't even spell the word playoffs. Like, I didn't know there was games that happened after the schedule that came out that, you know, I put up on the fridge. There's more games after that you can play in? Like, I had no concept of that because not only did the Bucks never make it when I was a kid, and the Lightning, too, once their inception happened in 1992, but they didn't even like contend, like, oh, they just came up short and missed, like, we didn't even talk about the playoffs. It was just a regular season, like, that's what sports were to me, a regular season thing. And the playoffs were something you watched other teams do on TV every year. And so, like, I think people, like, it's easy to take it for granted. I've even been doing it, like, when something becomes commonplace, like the Lightning, I mean, just win playoff series like they're candy. But if you really think about how hard it is to win just one series, or in the NFL, just win one playoff game, the Bucs didn't do it for almost two decades until they did it four times a few months ago. And it's, I mean, just to win one playoff game, what's that? 25% of the league, right? 32 teams, and there's eight teams, or at least there's eight teams playing. If you have a bye, then you can be in the second round without having played a game, obviously. But there's eight teams still standing in the divisional round. 25% chance. So you either win a playoff game, or you are so good in the regular season, you don't have to win one to get that far. And just to do that is so hard. And we know that as Bucks fans because it took the Bucks so long to do it. But just, I mean, think of a sports fan like in, let's say, Minneapolis, like the Twin Cities, where you've got four teams, not just three. The Twins won the World Series in, what was it, 1991, right? And that's literally it. The Timberwolves have never won a damn thing. The Twins, I mean, they make the playoffs every once in a while. They haven't won anything besides that one World Series. The Vikings have not won. They've been to the Super Bowl many times in the 70s and stuff like that, but they haven't been since, and they haven't won one. And, their hockey team. They've had a hockey team forever, two of them, the North Stars and now the Wild. They haven't won anything. I mean, just, imagine an equivalent of yourself, like a Minnesota version of yourself, Minnesota sports fan. And they've never experienced anything like, even if you took the past year alone and spread that out over a lifetime, that's still more than anything they've experienced in their lifetimes. All right? And there's a lot of cities like that. We were like that for a while. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Obviously, the Bucks won't be in the Super Bowl every year. Obviously, the Lightning won't be perennial Stanley Cup finalists every year. And the Rays, you know, I don't know how long they'll be able to sustain these things. There'll be days when they don't even, you know, contend for the playoffs, any of these three teams. But that seems so far away now, and yet it was so familiar to me my whole life growing up. And so to be where we are now, it's just extra special. It's good that it's still carrying on through this year where things are a little bit back to normal. And, you know, like the Lightning games are full now, pretty much. They're up to 18,500. Because last year it was really weird having all those things happen in these faraway places or places even here that you couldn't get into because they didn't have fans. But, man, this is just really, really cool. And, you know, don't take it for granted because, like, for all we know right now, we're watching the Tampa Bay Lightning play in the Stanley Cup Final for the last time in our lifetimes. Like, you don't know. Because, oh, we'll make another final. It might be 20, 30 years till they make another finals. Like, that, this stuff is hard. And the same with the Bucks. Like, everybody's already penciling the Bucks into the Super Bowl again this year. Hey, they made it once in 2002. Nothing happened for almost 20 years, and they made it again. And nothing might happen for another 20 more. So, you know, think about that when you're, I don't mean in the depressing way, but, like, think about that when you're sitting down to watch the Lightning tonight, or whatever, you know, I'm recording this on Friday, the morning of Game 3, or when you're sitting down to watch any of these postseason things, say, hey, this might be the last time I get to see this, if not ever, then even if for a couple of decades. You don't know. Just because they're there now, and they were there last year, and they might be back, who knows? But who knows, they may not be. So, you know, really soak it up, because it's really cool to be able to see how all this stuff is happening. And speaking of being able to see it, you've got, and this is some news where I have to take the L for you guys, folks. I want to apologize to anybody who took my advice on this, okay? Because Bucks season tickets, the announcement came down a couple weeks ago. I haven't done a show since then. Bucks season tickets completely sold out for the 2021 season, which is great news. But if you listened to this show and took my advice, you may have heard me very confidently talking about how, hey, listen, if you don't like how they charge you for preseason games, I said, just wait. Just wait till they play the two preseason games. Then call them up after the second home preseason game and say, yeah, now I want to buy season tickets. They're still going to sell them to you. I said, hey, it's no problem. Turns out that wouldn't have worked this year. So hopefully if you had intentions on getting season tickets, you just went ahead and got them. Because I knew there'd be an uptick. I thought it'd be very, I don't want to say easy because it's expensive, but I thought it wouldn't be hard to get them if you wanted to get them. And not that I didn't think there'd be more of the people, but coming off the Super Bowl, I thought, okay, you know, they'll probably sell 40, 50,000 season tickets. I didn't think you literally would have the entire stadium, every seat sold out to season tickets as of June. And that's a testament, okay? Because I know Tampa sports scene, and I even see it with the Lightning right now when they were beating the Islanders and their whiny-ass fan base. On Twitter, if you're on Twitter, I mean, all the crying. Oh, we're loud, man. Those Lightning fans, it sounds like a library. Blah, blah, blah. And can you believe they gave out fake noise? Tampa's such a lame sports city. You know what? And first of all, screw any of those people. Because the Lightning have had 10 times the attendance the Islanders have had for like a decade now. So I don't even know what they're talking about. But third of all, it doesn't even matter. Point is, Tampa sports fans take a lot of flack. Some of it deserved. You know, mostly it's because of the race situation. But yet it goes to show you, you know, you put a winner on the field and you give people a reason to get excited. And here, New York, wherever else, anywhere else, people are going to respond. I also think coming off of COVID, there's a lot of pent-up desire just to do stuff. So I think a lot of people, after the Bucks did what they did and after hearing that the Bucks would be at full capacity, and by the way, all 32 NFL stadiums will be at full capacity starting with the season here in September. If people hear that and they say, well, hey, let's get back in the pool. Let's jump back in feet first. Same thing with travel. Like you're hearing about in the national parks, for example, where I was last week. They've been more crowded than ever this year. And I think a lot of it, too, people that normally would have traveled like out of the country, maybe some people would have done different trips internationally, and that still is kind of hard to do right now. So people are internalizing it, and in all that focus, all that desire to do something, you know, it's being refocused back domestically, whether it's extra travel, whether it's season tickets. And again, if the Bucks weren't any good, then we wouldn't have this problem. But as it is, it's a nice problem to have. You can get on the waiting list. Remember the waiting list from back in the early 2000s days, the golden years, the first time around? They have one of those again. You have to pay to be on it now, which kind of makes the waiting list a little more legitimate because, you know, anybody can just put their name on a list. Like the Bucks used to brag, we have 150,000 list or 150,000 names on the waiting list. It was like, well, you know, okay, are those people all really serious buyers? You know, anybody can just put their name on it. And then when their name comes up, they can be like, yeah, I just wanted to see what would happen, but I'm not going to buy anything. But this list, you have to pay $100 to be on. You don't just lose the $100 if your turn comes up to buy season tickets. The $100 goes toward your season ticket purchase. But they are established. So if you want to get season tickets, go to Bucks.com or whatever. And they're not paying me to say anything. I'm just telling you how to do it or call them up or whatever. Put your $100 down. You know how these things go. The Bucks used to have a huge list, and then they couldn't even sell a season ticket barely a few years later. I hope that doesn't happen again, but these are all cyclical things. And so we're at the very, very peak of the wave. We're at the crest right now. And if you want to get in, you're going to have to wait a little bit because it's a testament. I really was surprised. I have to say, let me give us a little round of applause. Hats off to Tampa Bay sports scene. Because I did not think Bucks fans would respond quite that ferociously. But it's going to be a great scene at Raymond James for those 8 Sundays or Mondays this year. And it should be a great atmosphere. And it's been a long time. I've been to a lot of Bucks games in my life. I went to every single one of them for, you know, over a decade back when they were going through several different, you know, going back to the Sombrero, then through the Super Bowl years, then the down years after that. And it's been a while since I've been to a Buck game, or any of us, I guess, have been to a Buck game where RJS was jam-packed and jelly-tight. It felt like 2002 again, or 1999 again, something like that. It's been a long time since it's felt like that. And even last year, obviously, with the Bucks making the Super Bowl, it didn't feel like that because of the limited capacity. So it should be a lot of fun to be there this year. Monty Kiffin, speaking of the glory days, Monty Kiffin's going to be your Ring of Honor person this year. It's cool to see a coordinator go up there, but if anybody should, it's him. There's a whole defense named after what he did, the Tampa 2. And so he's going to be inducted in the second home game of the year, second game of the year, September 19th, the Falcons game, after the Week 1 opener on Thursday night against the Cowboys. So that will be cool. Oh, and then forgot this. The one helmet rule is being changed. So it's not going to change this year, but in 2022... it's going to change, and teams will be allowed to wear an alternate helmet. Now, the obvious thing that sets off, well, we all want to see a throwback uniform back and see the Bucks and possibly, I mean, I don't, you know, if Tom Brady will still be going after next season or not, but if he's here in 2022, you know, everybody wants to see Tom Brady wear the creamsicle, as they call it. I don't like calling it the creamsicle. It's just orange. But the rule's been changed. Now, let me say this again, because I want to make sure I hammer this home. If you know me, you know that I think the original Bucks uniform, the white helmet with Bucko Bruce, the orange jersey and the white pants, and I mean this isn't hyperbole, I think it's the most perfect sports uniform ever created by mankind. I don't know, you can attain more, like that is perfection. You cannot improve upon it, okay? And I wish that it had always been our uniform. I wish they'd never changed. Since they did change, though, I liked what they changed to back in 1997 and what they're wearing again now. What they did the 6 years prior to this past season was an atrocity that I don't think we need to even talk about anymore. But my point is, I'd love any chance to see the Bucks wear that uniform, and they did it a few times in the years before the one helmet rule. Those games were always fun. I always like to get out, not just like a retro, you know, piece of orange Bucks gear that I bought 5 minutes ago, but I still actually have my Bucks stuff from the 90s, and I put that stuff. I'm not going to buy something new. I put the stuff on that I had. I always wear that to the throwback games. I love doing that. And so I'm all for it. Here's my thing with the one helmet rule that I like, though. College football is an absolute disgrace uniform-wise because teams just switch uniforms every week. That's a no-no. If you're going to have an alternate helmet, it should only be for a throwback. So here's what I don't want to see. Hey, we're going to try black helmets this week. Let's just come out in black just because. Or play mix and match and all the crap you see in college. The main thing about a uniform is it needs to be a uniform. It needs to be what you wear when you play. It's not dress up. It's not what are we doing this week. You have a home and a road, or in the NFL's case, a dark and a light, and that's it. You should have one helmet, okay? So that's what I liked about the one helmet rule. Now, a throwback's an exception to that, but what I don't want to see is, like, let's say, for example, the Eagles. Hey, let's try a white helmet with green wings this week. Okay, let's just, like, no. You pick your helmet, whatever that is, and that's what you wear. If you're wearing a certified throwback uniform, then you can wear something different for the throwbacks. But, like, I don't want to see the Bucks, like, toying around. Oh, let's try a black helmet. Let's try this. Let's try that. That's crap. The whole point of a uniform is it should be the same thing you wear week after week, where if I'm looking in a sports bar from 40 feet away and there's a TV up there on the wall, I can tell from across the whole place who's playing just by seeing the uniform. Not this Oregon crap. Hey, we're wearing yellow helmets this week. Next week we're wearing green. Now we'll try white. Hey, how about anthracite or whatever the hell they call, you know, silver or gold or black or whatever the crap is. No. Hey, we've got some of these teams like brag about. We've got 47 possible uniform combinations. No, that's not good. You should have two possible uniform combinations, your home and your road. That's it. Like, that should be your combinations. And you should look the same damn thing every week across not just a season, but across years, across decades, across generations. And there's a reason the most iconic franchises don't screw with their stuff, okay? You don't look at the if you're standing in a bar and you see the yellow helmet, green jersey, yellow pants. Hey, the Packers are playing. The Packers don't like, oh, let's try something else this week. No, they wear what they wear at home. They wear what they wear on the road. That's it. The Raiders, okay? Teams like that. The Chiefs. And there's a bunch of them, you know, that just no nonsense. And those always tend to be the best uniforms. And they always tend to be the teams that make the most money and are the most prominent. And that's not a coincidence. So those are my thoughts on the one helmet rule, but I'm fine with it as long as they limit it just to throwbacks if they're going to lift that rule, because I would love to see the Bucko Bruce come back and be something they do yearly. And honestly, if they told me they were going back to that full time, I would never complain. And yet I'm totally fine now that they fixed the current uniforms with what they wear on a normal basis, and we'll have more time to talk about it and all that. So if you want to email me, I've been getting a few emails even while I was out, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. And same thing with Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. Both great ways to get a hold of me. Thanks especially to the handful of people who actually sought out the show, because when I don't record, there's always a few people like, hey, where's the free stretch? Like, those are the people I know, like, are always looking for the show. I appreciate that. Like, that you actually noticed that I didn't do a show means a lot. So thanks to you guys. And we'll get back on a normal schedule now. You know, summer is a little bit tougher with lots of things going on. And like I said, having the kids constantly. but we'll get back into the groove here now that we're in July. Hey, it's training camp month. Like, this is a month where football things will happen. We haven't been able to say that for a while. It's late July, and we're still a few weeks away as I'm recording this here on July 2nd, but we are in a football month technically, so we are getting close. So anything you've got, thoughts, discussion, all that stuff, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com or on Twitter at BobbyGameDay. And the fridge schedules, I know a lot of people emailed me about those when I mentioned it before, and I haven't responded to all of them yet, but I am going to type the fridge schedule up. You will get one. If you want one for your fridge, like I said, just email me, say, hey, Bobby, I want a fridge schedule. When I type it up, I will send it to you. And I think we're going to do a lot of them this year. I got a feeling we're going to do more this year than whatever the most we've done is in the past. And it's time, I think, where we can put it on the fridge and it's real. Like, you put it up there and it's, you know, we're only, you know, a couple months away, it feels like, from the promised land of that opener against the Cowboys. But training camp and all that stuff and some preseason games will sustain us up until then. And then, oh, there's one other thing I wanted to mention. I wanted to give a hats off to Carl Nassib, who came out as gay, the first, or will be the first, active NFL player. Michael Sam was close, but he didn't actually play or be on the roster during the regular season. And so hats off to him for being the first guy. I know he didn't actually do anything but be himself and say that, but that's actually a big deal. And you know what? I'm not going to go into a whole thing on it, but I know there's a lot of people out there, because when he first came out with this, again, while I was out of town, there was always a few people, who cares? I don't know, why does he feel the need to even say it then? If it's such a big deal, who cares? Why make a big deal out of it? If it's so not a big deal, then why are we making a big deal? People like you, who cares guy, are probably the reason why we're making a big deal, because you're clearly upset, like it clearly bothers you that he would even say it. But it is a big deal, because I heard somebody say on Twitter, I think it was, or somebody wrote a piece, and they were congratulating him on being the first to step forward, but he said something along the lines of, team sports locker rooms are one of the last hostile spaces for gays, and now maybe this news will start to change that. And I understand what he was trying to say. I mean, he had good intentions. But team sports locker rooms are not one of the last hostile places for gays. There are hostile places for gays all around us all the time, still to this day. In fact, look no further than the Florida legislator who goes out of their way to give money to charter schools who expressly prohibit gay people, whether it's gay parents of the kids or any gay anything, who say it's against their moral code, and they have it written into this stuff in these schools. And the Florida legislator openly applauds it, gives them charter school voucher money. Okay, so you don't have to say, oh, well, this is one of the last bastions of discrimination that we're knocking down. No, there are plenty of bastions of discrimination, and they are alive and well. And I think the thing about Nassib, and this is why, like, what Michael Sam did is a big deal. He wasn't the first one, technically, because he didn't make a team, but he made it less of a big deal when Nassib said what he said, because then it was like, it wasn't like a big shock. Like, okay, you know, we've seen this before, even though technically it hasn't gone quite to the level of a person officially being on the roster and all that. Those are all technicalities, but, you know, Sam advanced it. Every new person advances it a little bit, and now Nassib advanced it. And then the next one, it'll be even less of a big deal. And then who cares, guy? Yes, then maybe it won't be a big deal, and you can really say who cares unironically. But when you say it now, it just kind of sounds like it's really, really bothering you for some reason. You know, I'm just telling you that's how it comes across. Oh, who cares? Why does he have to? What does it matter? I want to hear about that. You know, relax, because there's a reason it still matters. And I hope you're right. I hope soon it really doesn't matter. But, you know, progress moves a lot slower than it should usually. But I'll tell you what else about progress is it always eventually wins. And the very stuff people fight about when they come up the first few times, then 20 years later or something like that, everybody conveniently forgets, and then that's just okay then. And that's how this will be. I mean, think about gay people being able to get married, for example. All right, that's kind of just accepted now, as it should be. But 20 years ago, right, it was totally non-controversial to be against that. Like, now if you're against that, like, you're kind of, like, branded as someone who's discriminatory, as you should be. But 20 years ago, it was like totally cool to be a, that was like a both sides thing. Like, oh, well, this is just one person's opinion, another, you know. And before that, let's make a, oh, okay, mixed race marriages. Like, you're totally out of line in the year 2021 to say a black person and a white person shouldn't get married, right? But go back 30, 40 years, and that actually was pretty mainstream. It wasn't, so like they said, progress wins eventually, and the people that fight against things eventually lose. And then they move on and they pretend they never said those things to begin with because it's not socially acceptable. But that's the point. We need to make it socially unacceptable to hold certain discriminatory beliefs, and every little chip away at the brick, you know, like just chip away, chip away, chip away. That's progress. So for that reason, and you're right, it's not a big deal that Carl Nassib is gay. It's not a big deal at all. But you got to keep chipping away to the point where everyone, not just progressive people, but everyone's like, yeah, it's not a big deal. And we move on to the next thing. And that's how progress works. It's how it's always worked. And it will continue to work that way. And if you have a problem with any of that, or if you think I'm getting political, again, just give it 10 or 15 or 20 years and you'll realize that what I'm saying isn't that controversial. There'll be some other progress you're trying to inhibit by then, I'm sure. But in the meantime, thanks to for listening to the show. I want to thank our good sponsors, our friends at Bill Curry Ford. And by the way, summertime's a great time to buy a car. You know, a lot of people are in and out, but a lot of other people are out of town and things like that. Just know you can always do this online. You don't have to do anything in person. Just go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. Remember, they sell it, or they spell it, excuse me, C-U-R-R-I-E. So it's BillCurryFord.com. Check out the full inventory there. And they will deliver to you if you want to test drive. They will deliver to you if you buy. And of course, you can always go to the showroom and the huge lot they have over there on Dale Mabry. It's just a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry on the east side of the road, just north of Hillsboro. And the whole deal is there. And go see our good friends and take a look in person. But if you want to do it online to start out, I recommend that. Go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. So with that said, thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to the Joes for allowing me this platform and putting me in front of you guys on the single best place anywhere on the internet for Bucks coverage. And most of all, thanks to you for listening. It's 4th of July weekend. Have a great weekend. Be safe with the fireworks. You know, I'm all for them. Just be safe with them. And we'll get back after it again next week as we inch closer and closer to the opening of training camp and all that other good stuff. So until then, hopefully by the next time I talk to you, the Lightning will be Stanley Cup champion or close. Either way, savor it all, man. Tampa Bay sports, there's nothing like it in the year 2021. Be safe, have fun, and that's your opener of July edition of the Free Stretch. And I'll talk to you next week. Wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.